This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh salatu rabbi wa salamu alayhi. Welcome to our special night, inshallah ta'ala. We've got a back-to-back, we've got a double header tonight. Our session, and then followed by the competition, the debate that's been happening for an extended period of time in human history, who makes the best rice? And this question that has plagued mankind for centuries upon centuries, all over the world, people have begged and asked this question, and it is going to be settled where it should be settled tonight here at Clear Lake Islamic Center. Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Okay, so that being said, today our session, inshallah ta'ala, is about planning for your future. And so there's a lot that we're going to try to cover, inshallah ta'ala, in 40 minutes. But I wanted, inshallah, to open up with our Sheikh Ibrahim, inshallah ta'ala, with opening comments with regards to the importance of planning in and of itself, the importance of planning. And as far as your first tip, inshallah ta'ala, with regards to planning for your future.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa alihi wa sahbihi wa mawala. Before I get into that, I hope that I can just take a few minutes to recall a conversation that I had with a young lady who's now a dentist. Alhamdulillah, she's studying to become a dentist, and how she grew up, mashallah, in a, you know, with resilience and, you know, facing all the hardship and the challenges. And it brought up the conversation about our purpose in life and how we can really reach that purpose. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I have not created man and jinn except for the purpose that they worship me. Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need our worship at all. He doesn't need our worship whatsoever, but we need to worship Him. And that fits in our future planning. How is that? A lot of times when we want to live our life, we want to plan our life, sometimes we want to reach a goal. And a lot of people, when they reach that goal, they get into what we call that depression moment, because they reach that goal, they get depressed. But this purpose that Allah put in our life, which also is ingrained in our fitrah, is that we will never reach that goal throughout our life. Ya ayyuhal insanu, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi, O mankind, you will continue to struggle until you reach your Lord, until you reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are always climbing up, climbing and climbing to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reach that goal of submitting to Him and worshiping Him and living your life based on that, which gives you a purpose. It won't get you into a form of some type of depression. A lot of people reach their goals and they got depressed, and some of them even committed suicide because of, you know, they felt into deep depression because of that. They say, what else am I going to accomplish? What's going on?
Yeah,
I have reached everything.
They create a summit for themselves, and they reach it, and exactly. There's nothing left.
So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that goal in your life, now I realize why it's important to align this goal to everything you do in life, to all of your plans in life. Eventually, what we see is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you with certain gifts, that you need to find these gifts. And you need to plan your life based on these gifts that Allah has given you. And from there, where you don't waste your time. And you match these gifts and align them with the ultimate purpose that Allah has created you for, where you live your life as a whole person without any, nervousness or anxiety or difficulty that can depress you, but the difficulty will make you grow even better.
Sheikh Ibrahim, so, you've taught young people for a very long time. How does a person go about finding those gifts?
Okay, so I mean, this is a very I didn't get to the planning. Maybe we'll get to that later. But that's a very good question, which is, you know, watching kids. You know, I follow a method of teaching now where I'm supposed to be a coach, coaching these kids. And part of it is that you need to watch the kids and see who's a leader, see who's a team player, see who's an achiever, see who's a reader, who's a hard worker, see who's a socializer.
Who's a smart worker?
Yeah, smart worker, a socializer. The lazy kid usually comes up with the most creative ideas.
That was the smart worker, right? That I was saying.
Right, exactly. So watching them, you'll find, and parents should be able to find the gifts of their children. And so they won't waste their time. Because a lot of times we put our children into studying things that they have no desire studying at all. Mm. Because it does not match what they are endowed with, that gift and that talent. So how to find out? It you know, it requires to see what makes that kid really thrive. And I see that, you know, put them through different activities, through different tests. And it you know, it takes a lot of experience. And I don't claim to be able to figure it out. But, you know, with the time that I spend with the kids, they teach me. I find these gifts in them.
Yeah.
And they're amazing in the way they look at things. So it takes a team to actually figure out the gift of each person. And parents really have to spend a lot of time doing this so they can actually help their kids know what they're created for. Besides, you know, that we are all submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that gift that they have, you know. And we can have a lot of examples where some people study engineering, but they have no desire for engineering.
Yeah.
And they find themselves wasting I'm a perfect example.
You studied engineering.
I studied engineering.
Oh, this whole time I never knew that shit.
You see? And because there is no guidance.
Yeah.
You know, we grew up in an environment where there's no guidance to tell you what to do. So you follow the trend. And that is the dangerous of following trends.
So Sheikh Kamal, as far as people finding their gifts, you as well, do you have any techniques?
I don't actually. And because I always deal, and I was one of those people that, you know, I found out late, you know. Let me put it this way. First of all, I want to say the idea of discovering what your child is good at. In Canada, when I lived in Canada, we had a weekend school. It was also called Amchi, by the way. We just stole the same name. I mean, we started it there. We just used the same name.
Yeah.
The point is,
you had it copyrighted.
We had this parent would come to me. He had two children. They were both in my class. His older boy, he would come and tell me, talk to my older boy. You know, I need you to talk to him. So I'm okay, sure, we'll talk to him. Next week, you need to talk to him. Third week, I asked him, what do you want me, what's the problem? He said his younger brother, he's creative. He writes, and he writes poetry and stories. But his older brother is not creative. It's math. He's good with math and numbers and stuff like that. That was the problem. Mm. So he thought basically that I'm going to talk to this kid and he's going to suddenly become creative and a writer and get in touch with his inner mush'arif, whatever that is thing in the inner. I was like shocked at him. I thought, what is the matter with you? That's it. That's how the world runs. Some people are creative. Some people are 1 + 1 = 2. They're logical. They're mathematicians. They're scientists.
They're creative in their own way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. And it's important that you let your child be however they're going to be. Don't try to make them a copy of yourself. That's very important. The other thing is that when they want to do something, even if it's the wrong field, I really believe that encouragement is important. Like when you tear them down, you tell them why it won't work or why you can't do it. I was reading a book by this salesman. He's like insanely good salesman. He said part of his reason or behind his success, when he was young, he said, whatever I told my mother, she supported me. And he says, if I told her I'm going to grow up to be a thief, she would tell me, you're going to be the best thief ever. But it's just that in their mind, always have that, you know, the feel that they can do whatever, they can accomplish whatever. Whereas sometimes you see some youth and you tell them, do this. I can't. It's hard. It's heavy. But try. You didn't even try. But you've already set yourself up for failure. You know,
The idea of leaning into your gift isn't just with regards to parents directing to your children, but even me myself, right? Sometimes you, even as an adult or you as a teenager or wherever you're at, you might become so inclined because we're naturally attracted to the success of somebody else. And so I see Sheikh Kamal is hilarious, right? He's got such great comedic timing. Imagine if I say to myself, I need to be funny like Sheikh Kamal. And so now I'm trying to be, you know, and my jokes aren't working and it's not going to work. Or I try to be intelligent like Sheikh Ibrahim. It's not going to work, right? So imagine if the companions try to be each other, like Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu is trying to be a reciter like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, or Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is trying to be a warrior like Khalid ibn Walid. Everybody's got their own gifts, they've got their own talents, and Khalid trying to be like Abdullah wouldn't have worked, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud trying to be like Khalid ibn Walid wouldn't have worked. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's gift was the Quran and him being able to recite it and him being able to teach it, and Khalid ibn Walid's gift was on the battlefield. And that completeness is, in a community, is each one trying to lean into their own gift, realizing that we're all complementary pieces, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you unique and gave you certain talents. And so you maximizing those talents is going to take you further than you trying to be somebody else.
You reminded me of a statement of one of the scholars, one of the contemporary, in our lifetime scholars. He said, people expect you to gather what was dispersed amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. Beautiful.
Yani they want you to be like Khalid bin Walid when it comes to this, and like Abu Bakr when it comes to that. And all these great qualities were scattered amongst the companions. They were not all gathered in one. But sometimes people expect all that to be in one person, which is far too much. The comment I was making earlier about sometimes you're not clear or you don't know what you're going to do. I remember when I was in high school, some of my classmates, they would tell me very precisely what they want to do in their life. Like one guy would tell me, I want to work for Toyota Motor Company and I want to design this specifically. Like, how did you come up with that? Like, and why this part? And I used to like feel like this is strange. Like everybody knows exactly what they want to do and I have no clue. But I never worried. I never worried. I knew that it's going to come. And I always tell people, because people always, when I travel, they come up to me like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do and what impact I'm going to make and all that stuff. Maybe we'll touch on that later. But I always tell them this. You just keep doing what you're doing and keep looking for it and it's going to come. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let you know what you're going to become when the time is right. Because if He tells you too soon, you'll ruin it for yourself.
And that's a good point, because it takes a lot of growth to get to that point. Sometimes, you know, people don't realize that, okay, if you want to become a plumber, let's say, if you want to become a plumber, you start with something that teaches you how to be disciplined, right? How to, you know, be patient. How to be able to get to fit into places where, you know, you can handle tools. Mm. I mean, there are certain skills that are required for you to get to that point. Yes, and you need to be trained to get them. And some of them are actually personal skills, like honesty, patience, endurance. Mm. Sincerity, and not to finagle, you know, your life where you're cheating, basically. Well, you need to perfect your work. So you have to be disciplined. You have to be accountable. And all of this requires that type of training. So I always like that, scene from the movie Karate Kid, where this kid wants to be a karate master, right? So he goes to his sensei, or whatever you call him, and the first thing he tells him...
We call him Mr. Miyagi, that's what we call him.
Okay. The first thing he tells him is to clean the floor, to clean the walls. And he says...
Wax the cars.
Wash my car, clean my yard, clean the wall. He says, why? Why does this have to do with this? He says, because that's what will build your character, build your endurance, build your patience. Not to mention the movement that you have to do that will build your muscles as well. So any career requires certain skills that you really have to acquire. And parents need to actually teach their kids that. And one of the things that are important, I was telling the doctor that, the young doctor, is that you really need to build tolerance to discomfort. A lot of these kids who don't make it in life is they give up in the first
sign of resistance,
the first confrontation with this discomfort. It's not comfortable. I can't handle pain. I can't handle the stress.
Yeah.
And so parents need to develop that in their children from a very early age. You know, wake them up early, and the routine that we follow in Islam teaches us that. When we pray 5 times a day, when we have to do certain things, it develops that in us.
To me.
Yeah.
So Kamal, why is it that you say a person shouldn't worry?
Okay, so I'll tell you in two answers, look, quickly. So one is that I always run into these guys who are in their late 20s, mid 30s. They graduated.
Mid-30s, they shouldn't be worried?
I mean, they shouldn't. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Well, I'm getting to the point. All right, so they just got married. They just had their first child. Good job. Just bought their house. They've got a good car. And they're also active in the community. They're taking classes and sometimes teaching classes and active with Al-Maghrib and whatever good is happening in the city. Then I get in their car and they're telling me, like, I feel like unsuccessful and a loser and misguided, and I don't know what my purpose is, and I don't know what legacy I'm going to leave behind. So one of the worst things that happened to the Muslim communities in the West is that Muslim speakers started going into these motivational speaking nonsense, right? I'm sorry, I don't have any respect for that field. And then they started pumping us up with the "you can do it" and "imagine yourself on the beach." Imagine yourself on the beach with Kalam for. So then what happens? That you have to leave a legacy, something people will remember you by. Let's be realistic. How many people are going to leave something like that? So now, even though you were successful by a moderate definition, because you didn't leave a legacy that people remember and you didn't leave a mark in history, you feel like a loser, even though you're not. So that's one thing. The other thing is like, okay, what am I going to do?
For example, Sheikh, 99% of the ummah, no one remembers. 99%.
That's true.
Right? But they were successful if their actions were accepted by Allah. That's it.
And some of them made it to al-Firdaus al-A'la.
Yes.
So that's why I was talking, your legacy with Allah is what counts. Forget people. Especially when you're working hard so that you become famous or people remember you, it's going to have no barakah in it. And I would say, let's put it this way. If Allah revealed to Umar Siddiqui that he's going to become the greatest scholar in the Muslim Ummah, if Allah revealed it to him tonight, he will ruin that his chances of becoming the greatest scholar. Because he's going to start giving fatwas tomorrow morning. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let you know if there is something like destined, like, you know, more mystical like that. You will know at the right time. Because if you know too soon, and I think the same thing happened to me. Like, I didn't know which... I studied business management, you know, for years, and then I was going to switch to philosophy. Then I was like, philosophy. Then I was going to switch to history. Then I remember that, you know, I don't want to work at a fast food restaurant. Then it just came, and it came, is a bunch of circumstances I don't want to get into, but everything just fell in place, and I knew this is exactly what I want to do. So I could have just been panicking and...
But in your childhood, you probably had indications or clues that this is your character, this is who you are.
That is very true.
Can you tell us?
Oh, that would be overpraising myself. I can't say it any other way.
You don't want to talk about the khutbahs you were giving at 8 years old?
Try to humble yourself for once.
I can't. Yeah.
So one of the things I think that's really important for a person who, I'll share with you guys this one hadith that I love very much, and I think that it's like the keys to success as far as anybody's life, no matter what field you're in, no matter what you want to do. This hadith is a guideline for you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says 3 things. He says, "Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk." He says, "Focus on what benefits you." That's number 1.
Right.
And then he says number 2, "Wasta'in billah," and seek the help of Allah.
And number three, he says, وَلَا تَعْجِزْ. Don't give up. These three things are the keys to success in any endeavor, any industry, any goal, whatever you want. Number one, focus on what benefits you. And the scholar said the secret of this hadith is that letter kaf, which means you. Focus on what benefits you. Because what benefits me is different than what benefits Kamal, Sheikh Kamal. It's a bit different than what benefits Sheikh Ibrahim. It's different what benefits anybody. So different with what benefits you. And what benefits them is different than what benefits me. And number two, the Prophet ﷺ says, seek the help of Allah. And that's what self-help books, motivational speakers, they won't tell you. They don't tell you to seek the help of Allah, make dua for it, ask Allah for it, beg Allah for it. And then number three, he says, persevere. Continue, show that discipline, be okay with discomfort. Break it down into milestones until you're able to reach that goal. And if a person does these three things, inshallah ta'ala, they'll be successful.
And I would like to add that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you with these abilities to reach these goals.
Yeah.
You know, Allah created you to live on earth. And, you know, one the great example is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Adam the names of everything. He taught Adam the names of everything, even though he was going to spend the first time in Jannah. He probably didn't need that at that time. But these names and what Allah taught him helped him greatly when he was sent down to earth. So Allah created him with the ability to face the challenges of living on earth. And, you know, the difficulties of living on earth. So a lot of us forget that. We forget that we are the creation of Allah, meaning that we have been created perfectly. Allah created us in a perfect form, able to overcome any challenge. But still, you really need to find what you are best at to realize Allah's plan for you. And that's where it comes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a qadr for you. You will be what Allah has decreed that you will be, but you need to work towards that qadr. You don't know that qadr, like Sheikh Kamal said. Allah did not tell any of us what we will be. Yet, we walked through a path to reach, to get us to that goal. So we have to really be believers in our ability to realize that and to overcome these challenges, and you know, implement the hadith that you mentioned, that we focus on what benefits us and we seek Allah's help to guide us on the path where we need to be. And Allah tells us that you need to learn. You know, you need to learn. If you want to become a good worship of Allah, you need to learn how to do that. If you want to become a good husband, you need to learn how to become a good husband. If you want to become a good wife, you need to learn how to, you need to be trained. So you have the abilities to do that.
This is a great point, Sheikh. You need to be trained. How important is role models or mentorship or seeking advice from those ahead of you, even if they be just a couple of years or 1 year older, that you're seeking out information mm-hmm. from people before you? Whoever wants to take
well,
that one.
I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a wealth of knowledge in the Quran. Great examples from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all prophets. If you read their stories, Musa alayhi salam, for example, if you read it, you find so many clues on things that will fix your life. Literally, will fix your own life if you read it and study it very carefully. Stories of the Sahaba, like Salman al-Farisi, an amazing story. Stories from historical figures, like Qutuz, for example, when he was enslaved, sold into slavery when he was 4 years old.
Sayyiduddin Qutuz is the leader of the Mamluks who
exactly. So I'll give you an idea, just to let you know how important it is to read history and then to follow a mentor that can teach you these clues. Qutuz, for example, he was one of the children of the emirs in India. Gets picked up by the Tartars or the Mughals, sold into slavery, sold from one to another until he ends up in the Ayyubid dynasty. He grew up, he becomes a warrior, and he's the one who topples down and eradicates the whole Mongolian or the Tartar dynasty completely. Now, he was a slave sold by the Tartars. He came back. Look how the Qadr worked.
Yeah.
So, yeah. SubhanAllah, if you, there's a lot of clues. So, it's important to seek knowledge from people who can teach you. And you need to really find a good teacher. A lot of times we underestimate the influence of teachers. And unfortunately, the education system that we have is very flawed. And we need to benefit from it, regardless of its flaws. We still need to benefit from it. But it really limited the effects and the influence of teachers to certain things, where teachers are no more role models. A teacher should be a role model to the students, where he can actually teach them and mentor to them and show them, you know, deep lessons of life, rather than just teach them math or teach them how to solve, you know, whatever science problems or whatever subject they're teaching, but rather teach them skills of life. And that's important. And in any field, whether social, emotional, career-wise, you have a teacher that can help you and teach you.
So you mentioned skills of life. Sheikh Kamal, as far as a skill that you would love, we'll just ask each one of you, if there's a skill that you want people to have, what would that skill be?
So
just one.
Yeah, so if you look at the younger generations now, it is like glaringly obvious. One of the things they lack and lack severely, it's what they call emotional intelligence. And I've been saying this for the last 5 years. Some of the youth are tired of me saying that. If there is an opening in your company, and, you know, a room for what do they call tarqiya, yani promotion. All right, and it's you and another guy, and you guys are exactly equal. Okay, I mean, you both have blue eyes and blonde. Yani, you know, you're all equal. And then you are a little better than they are emotionally. You know how to talk to people. You know how to maintain eye contact. You know how to greet. You will get that job. Okay, but I mean, just look around. Most youth, they don't know how to greet. Just now, a kid just walked by me, and I thought we were close. Just walks by, and kids do, the youth here in this masjid do that to me all the, they just walk, pretend they don't see me, or they look me in the eye, and then just look away. Salim, ya akhi. Salim, and then exactly. Smile. And I ask them how they're doing, and they just grunt. Like, ask me how I'm doing.
Yeah.
Better than you, that's for sure. But the point is that's a skill that absolutely everyone is in need of. Absolutely. Right.
Okay. So we have emotional intelligence.
I wouldn't say a skill. I mean, there are so many skills that you can talk about. But for teenagers.
I just need one, Sheikh.
No, for teenagers,
yeah.
I would recommend that get a job. Get a job. Even though you're a teenager, find a job that can teach you discipline. Discipline is very important throughout your life. Find a job. I had a meeting with a youth group, and we were talking about what makes you proud. And one kid really stuck in my mind, and I praise him every time I see him. He says, I'm proud that I got a job. I work at a grocery store. I said, that is great. What do you do? And he told me, he says, a lot of people depend on me, because if it weren't for me, they won't get their eggs. They won't get their milk. And he connected it. That's emotional intelligence, by the way. When you connect your job to people's needs, he said, and of course he goes to school and he's ready for college, but he held a job. He makes his own money. He has a job. He's disciplined. He wakes up in the morning. He goes to his job and then he studies. So I really recommend all our teenagers to get a job. It doesn't matter what it is. Get a job, even if it is minimum wage. Most likely, it's going to be minimum wage.
You said but he held the job. That's more important than getting the job.
Get the job.
Everyone can get a
hold
job.
It and stay in it, where it teaches you discipline. It teaches you accountability. It teaches you the value of managing your time, the value of earning your own money. Believe me, the dollar that you earn yourself is way better than $20 your father will give you. And you will see the difference. So that is a skill that I think kids really need to think of.
On that job thing, whatever the job is, just do, be the best at it. Be the best at it, and amazing things will happen. And you never know when that skill will come back. It's not one of my first jobs, but probably my first job in the U.S. was at a fast food restaurant. Okay, and what's interesting is that I did not plan to have a career in the fast food industry at all. But the owners were telling me, we're training you so you can run this place and we'll go open another place. They wanted to start a chain, all right? The point is that I knew I didn't want to continue a future in this, but I gave it 100% and I learned everything from the mopping to this to that to cleaning that exhaust vent, which is a disaster, everything, all right? Even though I know that's not going to be my career. I did a great job there, and I was paid $4.25 an hour. It was a lot of work. And then after that, I went to litigation support, they call it. And within the first 2 weeks, I was hired, I was promoted to shift supervisor. You know, you might think, he's just saying he's a hard worker. I might even be average, but I'll tell you what, you're working with people who are below average. In my life, I've only met two people who are harder workers than me. Like in a company that I worked with. One was my boss for a while in this company, and this guy was a workaholic. I'd never want to be like that. And the other guy's an Egyptian fellow, Bardo, hard worker, sincere, you know? But beyond that, people don't work hard. You just have to go a little bit beyond them, and you're getting the promotion, you're getting this, especially if you have blue eyes, all right? But here's my point, or another point. When later on, this is like a decade later, and I got this opportunity to purchase a restaurant, and guess what? Because I didn't belittle all that information when I was doing that first job, it all came in handy. I knew how to run the place, and
you know how to take care of that exhaust vent.
Yeah, absolutely. You respect that knowledge, no matter what it is, respect it, and give it 100%.
Very good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we do have to wrap up for the rice challenge, inshallah ta'ala. So I do want to leave everyone with one last point. I just want to make one with regards to when a person has a goal. So it's great if your family supports you. I've got a goal. Your friends are hopefully going to be supportive as well. But what happens when you don't get supported? You know, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, it's one of the great anecdotes that we have in our tradition, I think. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is a young kid when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away. And Ibn Abbas is considered to be the great scholar of tafsir amongst the companions. But he didn't start like that. He started off as a teenager. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away. And he gets an idea. He says, he has a friend from the Ansar. And he says, why don't we go and we basically learn from the companions? He's realizing that if the Prophet has passed away, Abu Bakr is 61, like Umar is 53. Like they're all old compared to him in his youth. And so he's recognizing the mortality of that generation. And he says, why don't I go and I learn from them? Let's go and learn from them now while we can. And so his friend, he says to him, Ibn Abbas, do you think that anybody's going to care what you know? Like, what are you trying to be a scholar? Like, who cares? Let's chase these birds or do whatever it is that they did. And so Ibn Abbas, he says a word, and this word is really important. He says, Fataraktu. He says, so I left him alone.
Very good.
Yeah. I stopped hanging out with that kid.
Yeah.
Like, this is my dream.
He will drag you down.
He's going to drag me down. This is my dream. I asked him to join me in this dream. He's saying no. And in fact, he's telling me that I can't do what I'm trying to do. And so Ibn Abbas says, so I left him alone. And the story goes, of course, that Ibn Abbas went on his journey, and his journey is famous. But later on in his life, when the entire world was gathered at his feet, that friend of his would come and see the gathering of Ibn Abbas and how everyone is learning from him. And he said that he was aware of something, and he took a journey that I didn't take. Mm-hmm. Right? So he regretted that he didn't take advantage of like Ibn Abbas did. So when you see something very, very clear, don't let it dissuade you. Rudyard Kipling, he says, trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. Right? Trust yourself when everybody doubts you.
Yes. But I would like to affirm what Sheikh Kamal started with, is never give up. Never think it's too late. It doesn't matter if you failed once, twice, three times, all the time you fail. Always rectify your path. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you and go on. Maybe Maybe these failures made you stronger and will get you to your goal. It's just some people should not really think of it as they have not achieved anything, even when they fail. There are certain things that we don't know why we did them until we see our children benefiting from them, until we see other generations benefiting from them. Maybe Allah is making you an example to other people that will learn from your experiences that you failed at, but still, they are experiences. Always seek to rectify, always seek to, you know, look at other ways to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you can help yourself and get yourself out of that, you know, failure loop. And inshallah, I mean, it's never too late, I would say.
Amen.
Yes.
Sheikh, come on, take us home.
So I want to say that, there is, without making the story long, but there's basically a term one psychologist coined. It's called learned helplessness. And that's where you set yourself up for failure. You tell yourself, I cannot do something, and therefore you won't try. Why would you try to accomplish something that you've already told yourself you're not good at or you cannot do? And one of the most important things is to recognize that if someone can do something, then you're also able to do it, because they're human. They eat, they drink, they need to rest, and they need to sleep and recuperate. So they're just like you. The difference is they just put themselves through more rigorous training or practice or years of practice or whatever. New studies are showing that this thing of natural talent is not really a factor. It's a very little factor in talent when it comes to sport, whatever. The rest is just training and
exactly.
Time put
hard
into
work.
Hard work.
Yes.
So one of the things we were blessed with.
It's called motivated talent.
Absolutely.
That's what it is.
Really, Sheikh? Like, you've seen two 7-year-olds, you give them both a soccer ball, one is dribbling right away and the other one is falling over themselves.
Later in life, that gift will not be as sharp until you motivate it.
Okay.
If you have a gift, it's good because
it's
you're
a
young.
Head start. Okay.
Yeah, you have a head start. But then after that, you really need to motivate that gift and get trained and work hard to, you know, establish it.
Got it. So that second one who's not really good can develop to
Absolutely.
Being as good as that guy.
And you, what you're using is example of me and my younger brother. And he was naturally good at every sport. Like, I mean, tennis, golf. He was 9 years old. He would play 18 holes with adults and beat all of them.
Oh,
and I was the exact opposite. Just fast runner and long distance running. But anything with a ball in it, I'm horrible at. Okay? Until today, to an extent. So the talent is like an advantage or maybe a head start, but it's not. It's all about training at the end of the day. And we used to be overconfident, my younger brother and I, whatever we see on television, no matter what the guy is doing, is walking on a rope, jumping off a plane, we would just look at each other and say, it's easy, I can do it. Maybe it's overconfidence, but it helped us out today. Like today, I never feel there's something I can't do. Like I always, and my wife is sick and tired of that. She wants something, I'll build it. COVID came, you know, I bought a welding machine. I learned to weld metal. You know, I learned to work on electric engines because that was my weakness. I was weak with electricity. I can do all the other stuff, you know, gas engines I can do. But then electricity was my weakness. During COVID, you know, not nailed it, but, you know, half beat the nail in. But like just the idea, nothing makes me more mad than when someone, I can't. You didn't even try and you're telling me you can't. That's just loser talk.
You need to try.
You
yes,
gotta
you
try.
To try.
And don't tell yourself you can't, or you set yourself up for failure. I want to close by saying there's never been a time in human history when there were so many skills at your fingertips. Things you can learn just sitting in your pajamas. You can learn so many things. And that's why, and it's very painful for me to say this, like, you know, 12 years or whatever, and actually 20 years of traveling around the country and meeting youth, only two stand out in my mind. Only two. One of them did woodworking. And those are the only two youth I've ever met, Muslim youth. Yeah. The rest, video games and kebab. That's it.
Kebab.
Best, video games and eating. I never meet a young man who's got this incredible skill or paints like this. It's just always the same old, same old. And it's such a shame because there's so much to learn. So get out, explore, learn. And I'll close. I gotta close now with this. I'm sorry, yeah. But I'm always jealous of this person. He died anyways. He was there was a movie director. His name was Stanley Kubrick. All right, and Stanley Kubrick was an exceptional director. There was nothing accidental in any shot or in any little item in the background of any of his movies. He was insane like that. But he said, I would walk into a library and I would go into a section that I would never walk into, something that never interests me, fracking, something I'm never interested in. And I would grab a book that I would never in my life take, and I would go home and I would read it cover to cover. Why? So that when I write my movies, I am that much more well-versed in different things, and I can write better movies. Wow. And I'm jealous of that kind of dedication. That's amazing. That's and right. We should have at least some of that, you know. Wallahu ta'ala alam.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Ibrahim.
I would like, Sheikh Waleed actually posted something, and I loved it. Is that, seek the journey to Allah broken and weak. Don't wait until you're strong and perfect.
Jameel.
So, in your future, don't wait until you're perfect. Take advantage of any opportunity that will make you grow and go with it. Don't wait until you're perfect. Seek the journey to Allah broken and weak.
Don't wait until you're strong and perfect.
Yeah.
With that, inshallah ta'ala, we end. Jazakumullah khair. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad.